Welcome to the end of the weekend.
Please don't let today be Monday. Please don't let today be Monday. Please, 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 please don't let today be Monday.
This is Sports Sunday with Joshua Briscoe.
And then what followed was bad even by Monday standards.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, welcome back to the show. I know some people are eventually going to listen to the podcast and probably of just this hour because this is the Chiefs hour and the Chiefs fever is strong. And I love it. One more thing on the contract. We were just having a discussion, in case you're just joining us. We were just having a conversation about the worst contracts in Kansas City sports history because Alex Gordon's is in that conversation now. Mike Sweeney came up. I think that's a good one. My dad texted in and made the point that at least Alex Gordon can play in the field. Mike Sweeney was, you know, Fred was a meh first baseman. So that's interesting. But I also just went back to Baseball Reference. Throughout his entire career, all the way through 2010, whenever Mike Sweeney played for Seattle and the Phillies for a combined 56 games, all the way from 1995 to 2010, Mike Sweeney never had a batting average as bad as where Alex Gordon is going to end this year. In fact, Mike Sweeney's lowest ever batting average was in his last season. It was 252. Mike Sweeney's worst ever batting average was 50 points higher than Alex Gordon's is. That's incredible. Does that put that in perspective? Because I think a lot of Royals fans do look back at Mike Sweeney and go, oh man, he just dropped off the face of the earth. He was hurt all the time. Right now, Mike Sweeney would be batting seventh in this lineup. Seventh! At worst, he might bat in front of Moose because then he just hates Mike Moustakas for some reason. All right, we're done. We're done with the Royals. In fact, and Charlie's here now. So Charlie and Rudy, genuinely, I need you guys to help me keep an eye on any waiver wire news that comes through because I want to look at Twitter, but I also have to speak. And reading and talking at the same time for like a full hour is something that, quite frankly, I don't think I have the fine motor functions to do successfully. So we will be all collectively monitoring all of the news that should be coming through in the next, I mean, maybe 10 minutes, maybe throughout the rest of the hour. We're supposed to be getting claims on waiver wire claim news starting now, essentially. So there's that. Beyond that, there are a couple of things from AFC West rivals with the Chiefs that I want to touch on that's news. The Denver Broncos cut safety TJ Ward. I believe he went and signed a one-year deal with the Buccaneers. Jamaal Charles made the roster in Denver, and the Broncos brought back Brock Osweiler, which is awesome. It's hilarious, and it's the story of the year, but also, I think he might be the best quarterback on that roster, which is also awesome, but also, like, the quarterback position might have gotten better. And also, there was this debate on Twitter about how Brock Osweiler was going, and, well, not really a debate on Twitter. John Elway said that Paxton Lynch is out for a few weeks with a shoulder injury, and that they're bringing back Brock because he knows the system. And he doesn't. It's not true. They have a different offensive coordinator, have a different team right now. Gary Kubiak was running Peyton Manning's offense essentially whenever Brock Osweiler was in Denver. I saw somebody said that they thought that maybe he meant that Brock Osweiler knows the Denver bus system.
Does this mean that the quarterback situation in Cleveland is better than it is in Denver now?
Oh, yes, it has been. It has
I know we haven't seen anything from Kaiser yet, but still.
He looked good. He had some nice highlights. That's more than I've ever been able to say about Trevor Siemian. Yeah, I think... How many quarterback situations in the league... All right, guys, having both of you working here at the same time is really good because I feel like I can like ask you guys to try to come up with something for me. Can you try to find me quarterback situations in the NFL that are worse than the Broncos? I've got the Jets. That might be it.
San Francisco. They're kind of the same as the Jets.
That's true. Oh, man. You know what? I just realized. I don't know if I can name you the Niners, like, depth chart.
I know the top two only solely because we've had this conversation. And I may be getting the number one wrong because I always get him and the Jets number one mixed up.
And also,
but I know the backup.
I think, did Brian Hoyer get cut yesterday? I think Brian Hoyer got released.
Okay, then that changes everything. Then I don't know.
No, maybe not. Because I also thought they cut Matt Barkley. Oh, man. All right. That's next. So point one, you're right. So the Broncos have a better quarterback situation than the Jets and the 49ers. Also, I cannot believe that the Broncos haven't signed Colin Kaepernick already, because they're a team that actually has a decent, talented roster, and they need a quarterback so badly, and Colin Kaepernick is better than any of these guys here, whatever. We don't have to talk about Colin Kaepernick every day. But, like, just purely football. That is insane to me. So find out if you can find quarterback situations worse than Denver, and if you can find out who is currently actually on the San Francisco 49ers, because I have no idea. I thought I saw something about Matt Barkley getting cut. I thought I saw something about Brian Hoyer getting cut. But I don't think C.J. Beathard, who I actually did know was on the roster, I don't think he is starting. So there's the Broncos are in that conversation. Oh, no, okay, I'm seeing differently now. Hold on, here's the update. C.J. Beathard is backing up Brian Hoyer. Maybe the Texans cut somebody yesterday that I was surprised to see them cut. But Matt Barkley got cut. And so now it's Brian Hoyer and then third-round draft pick out of Iowa, C.J. Beathard. That's the Niners situation. I digress. The Raiders, this was put out by Brandon Kiley on Twitter. I thought this was very interesting. The Raiders finished the 2016 season offensively 19th in yards per drive, 11th in points per drive, 12th in touchdowns per drive, and 18th in three and outs. Why do we consider the Raiders to be such an offensive juggernaut? Partially, I can answer it. It's because these stats that Brandon pulled are per drive. This is twofold. Actually, the main thing is that the Raiders' defense was so bad that last year that they averaged an extra drive per game. This is something that Seth Kaiser wrote about on Arrowhead Pride, I don't know, a couple months ago. We talked about this in the real dark times of the offseason. This was like before training camp conversation. The Raiders are made to look better offensively because of how bad their defense was. So for the people who are very gung-ho on Oakland, you probably should pump the brakes there. I think that the Raiders are statistically inflated, which is good news for the Chiefs. All right, and then the Chiefs news, I don't know why I started with the rivals, I guess because I figured it would just take a little bit of time. I don't know. The Chiefs news. The Chiefs currently have their 53-man roster. 43 of those players are guys who were on the roster last year, so not a lot of turnover. They ended up keeping 5 of their rookies, and we're expecting, and I'm looking around today, just checking every once in a while, we're expecting to see them make, I would say, a couple of moves as far as waiver claims. The thing that is most confusing now is that the Chiefs currently have 2 running backs on the roster. Spencer Ware is on IR, and they cut C.J. Spiller. Right now, official running backs on this team are Kareem Hunt and Trekandrick West. Now, I did think that Trekandrick West was going to be the number 2 back in this conversation, but I in no way expected them to cut C.J. Spiller. Here's the thing. C.J. Spiller could still end up on this roster. Brett Veach even said that. In fact, I think we have some Brett Veach sound from yesterday. So we will we'll jump into that a little bit later on. But Brett Veach said that C.J. Spiller could end up on this roster. Here's an interesting thing, though. His salary is guaranteed if he is on the roster in week one. So, the Chiefs could be playing a risky waiting game here, saying, listen, we have to not employ you in week one. Then we will sign you again in week two on a non-guaranteed contract. Unless that's a multi-year contract that they're offering, I don't know why C.J. Spiller would be willing to wait on the Chiefs if another team was interested. But I would think at this point that that's the plan, and that they have some sort of agreement from C.J. Spiller's agent or whatever to say, we're not going to try to get on another roster. We know what you're doing. We'll be back week two. However, the Chiefs are, with a rookie running back and Charcandrick West, potentially going into Denver with only, or into, excuse me, into the New England with only two running backs? Now, they do have some flexibility. They have DeAnthony Thomas, and they have Tyreek Hill, a couple of guys who have run the ball. But I am not interested in seeing either of those guys run the ball very much, especially Tyreek Hill. I would like to keep him outside as much as possible. So that is a confusing move that might have a logical explanation. Alternatively, they have something else cooking. And if they do, I would think we would know about it really soon because the Chiefs play a football game. I can't do the hours in my head. They play a football game on Thursday. I can't tell you how many hours from now that is. But it's soon. It is soon. Right now, it is 11:15 a.m. on a Sunday. Thursday night, they're going to be playing the Patriots in Foxborough. So that's something to keep an eye on. Ned said that the Royals are considering Sam Gaviglio for Thursday's start. Danny Duffy not especially close to coming off of the disabled list. Who the bleep is Sam Gaviglio? I'm comfortable asking that question because Cody Tapp quote tweeted that with an asterisk, Google's Sam Gaviglio.
I saw they picked him up like two days ago. That's the only reason why I even know his name. I saw a tweet.
My mouth is agape. This is where we're at right now with the Royals. Holy moly. All right, now I'm not going back to Twitter again. Like, Ned is talking about Sam Gaviglio. Donald Trump is tweeting about North Korea. I am not going back to Twitter for anything less than the Chiefs making waiver claims. Which is how sad my life is currently. That's what I'm holding out for is waiver claims. Oh, I love it. And that is not sarcastic. I love it. Which might be sad, I don't know. So we should be starting to hear about those relatively soon. Here is the quarterback conversation that I've been wanting to have. And I had this conversation over on ESPN Kansas City, 99.3 FM, 1510 AM, added to your presets, 4 to 6 every weekday. I'm over there talking. Not tomorrow, though, because I'll be here with Cody, co-hosting Between the Lines. Charlie just stood up and took a drink out of his styrofoam cup, which I assume is filled with lean. Maybe coffee, probably lean, because Charlie gets turned. But here's the quarterback discussion, and what I was going to say is we talked about it over there, and now I'm happy to take like questions and gripes or whatever. The phone number is 913-3810-810. Just let me make my point first. That's all I ask. This was the feeling that washed over me on Thursday as we watched Patrick Mahomes put on a show in the fourth preseason game. I have two schools of thought. One is about Patrick Mahomes, and one is about me and you. Firstly, about me and you. Both in politics and in sports talk, we are in a very polarized political place. There are two sides. Sometimes more than two sides, but boy, are there sides. You were either brought down to a binary Trump or Clinton voter. I don't know. As Tyler Bragelstein, the analogy, I don't know. Don't worry about it. You're boiled down to that. You get put into a party. Or you can just turn on FS1 or Fox Sports Kansas. You know those promos that Fox Sports Kansas City runs all the time for Undisputed? Where you hear Shannon Sharp and Skip Bayless yell at each other. And I think it's Shannon that eventually goes, like, choose a side. I don't know why I made him like, oh, what's that with the big red beard from Looney Tunes? Oh, man. Not Elmer Fudd. The other one.
Yosemite Sam?
Yosemite Sam. Good pull. Yeah, I turned him into Yosemite Sam there. I don't know why. But it's choose a side, right? Embrace debate. I think that's an ESPN. I think that was a First Take thing. Embrace debate. And in this conversation, I just don't think you have to do that. I have carved out my stance. I am officially a quarterback moderate. I know that Alex Smith is starting on Thursday, and I'm fine with it. Brett Veach said that the difference between Alex Smith and Pat Mahomes is like a world away. He said Mahomes isn't even like close to being where Alex Smith is right now. I get it. I've been convinced more and more recently that Mahomes can learn with Andy Reid, more with Andy Reid than with Alex Smith. I think the Alex Smith mentorship is a little overblown because it's like a good, like, feel-good story, but whatever, it doesn't really matter. I've been convinced more and more recently that Patrick Mahomes can learn behind Alex Smith by sitting this season. I also think he will get on the field, and I also very much stand firm in the idea that Patrick Mahomes has a lot that he'll have to learn while playing. But I know that it's Alex Smith this year. I know that Patrick Mahomes will probably play a game this year because of injury and probably lose the job back again to Alex Smith whenever he comes back, for better or for worse, whenever that is. I can accept all of that. And I also am so excited for Patrick Mahomes. And I was so fully enjoying that preseason game. And I don't need you to tell me that he's a rookie. I'm very aware of that. I think part of this is a Chiefs fan problem, which I am one of, as I would think most people would know at this point. I think that we as Chiefs fans have an expectation with our quarterbacks that is unfair to young quarterbacks. It is unfair to, like, ourselves. Because we expect our quarterbacks to play it safe and to not make mistakes. I've been conditioned to that my entire life, really. Who's the most gunslinger quarterback that I can remember? Like, Trent Green, I guess. I don't really confuse Trent Green with Brett Favre. And I don't remember Trent Green that well, frankly. This is whenever... Is he 14? Yeah, close enough. But because we have that expectation for our quarterbacks... We have that retread expectation. We don't know how to deal with rookie quarterbacks in Kansas City. Which isn't our fault, really. Haven't had the opportunity. But every time a rookie quarterback throws a near interception, you don't have to tweet that guy's a rookie. We all get it. At least I get it. So stop tweeting about how Patrick Mahomes has work to do. I'm aware of that, He's a rookie. In fact, I'm cool with that. That's part of his growth as a quarterback. That's part of the equation. As long as he's learning from his mistakes, I'm happy for him to make the mistakes. I would rather see Patrick Mahomes try to make throws that other guys would never attempt and then to have it picked off if it's in his first season as a starter. As long as I see after that play, he goes, oh yeah, here's how I make that throw next time. That's just how rookie quarterbacks work. So if you spent Thursday night tweeting about how much Patrick Mahomes has to learn still, I'm going to assume that you are not a fun person to be around and we can't be friends. He's going to get more comfortable with the offense. He's going to get more comfortable throwing the ball over the head of an NFL linebacker. Because NFL linebackers can jump. He's not in the Big 12 anymore. I get it. He's not going to start on Thursday night. He probably shouldn't. I get it. I hate how polarized this conversation became. Because now people expect, and me specifically, because I've been talking about Patrick Mahomes, because I've seen really good stuff from Patrick Mahomes, I'm excited about Patrick Mahomes. And also, I think there is an argument to be made for why he would benefit the most from starting now. I learned some stuff from Matt Waldman. You can find that podcast. I think it's pinned to my Twitter account right now. I learned some stuff from his analogy of saying, you know, Patrick Mahomes is a guy learning an instrument right now. You practice the instrument before by yourself before you practice with a band. Or it's like learning your lines to a play. If you're up on stage thinking about your lines, your acting is not going to be very good. If Patrick Mahomes is trying to remember the play call or the snap count, and then Andy Reid says, hey, you should have seen that corner over there. That corner turned his hips in the wrong direction, and you could have exploited that for a nice gain. Patrick Mahomes would be three steps behind that. I get it. But because I've had these discussions about Mahomes, because I've had these optimistic outlooks, and because I've made these arguments that I think are still completely arguable, now people on Twitter are saying, oh, every time Alex Smith throws an incompletion, there's going to be Mahomes' chance. Man, that's on you. Why do you expect that? And also, why are you so defensive about it? There are people who are really, really into Alex Smith because they don't think that he's getting enough respect. He just has a quarterback behind him that has a high ceiling and a potential future. That's not disrespectful. That's a quarterback competition. That's competition, period. Was it disrespectful to Brett Favre to draft Aaron Rodgers and sit him behind him? Was that an act of disrespect? I don't think you would say it was an act of disrespect because you don't have any insecurities about Brett Favre as a quarterback. People are insecure about what Alex Smith can do for good reason. So am I. But to get incredibly defensive on behalf of Alex Smith, because we're talking about his backup, who is a rookie and looks really, really good, so you go out of your way to criticize the rookie, I think is so missing the point. 913-3810-810. Let's go to Jerry. Jerry, you're on Sports Sunday. What's on your mind?
I'm going to talk about the Chiefs running backs, if you don't mind, Jeff.
Do it. Let's do it.
When you look at the Chiefs running backs, you've got, you lose Spencer Ware, which is a big loss from
Agreed.
One standpoint of the short yardage game. When you have an offensive line like ours that isn't physical and can't move people, as we've seen over the last couple of years, how this team has struggled on third and one or third and two because they can't move anybody, you need a big back. We don't have that big back now with Ware being out.
Yep.
Kareem Hunt's a good-sized guy, but he's not a guy that's going to move the pile. And then you've got Sarkandrick West, who really should even be on the roster. He probably wiped the sweat off his brow yesterday when the roster was announced, mm-hmm. but I'm sure he's probably... If I were him, I wouldn't get comfortable in that locker room
mm-hmm.
with the waiver wire coming. But that's one thing that concerns me, is not having that back that we could put in there in short yardage. Like I said, with an offensive line that can't move anybody, and mm-hmm. we've seen it, they cannot move anybody. This offensive line isn't physical at all. There are a bunch of dancing ballerinas, and like I've said with this offensive line, give me the Mahler over the ballerina any day, because the Mahler's going to get his hands on it. He's not going to give up on the play. Whereas with the ballerina, when the guy gets by you, that's it. The play is over. But that's one thing that concerns me, is just not having that big back we could put in there on third and one or third and two that can move the pile and get that first down with an offensive line that isn't physical. But if you could talk about that, I'll hang out and listen.
For
great
sure.
show, Josh.
I appreciate it. I'm not being told Gary. I've been told from Rudy that Rudy and Charlie, together with two of them, could not differentiate between Gary and Jerry. But if it was in fact Gary, thank you for the call. I agree with a bunch of that. I can give you sort of an optimistic look, and I can also just sort of feed the pessimism. I'm going to do both of those, in fact. I do think Spencer Ware is a very big loss. I was met with some pushback on that, which was very surprising to me. Whenever he got hurt, I said, this is a big loss. And somebody in a comment section on Arrowhead Attic, they responded to it. They said, the comment was, nope. The headline was like, losing Spencer Ware is a big deal. Nope. Okay, man. So I agree that it's a big loss, not only in the short yardage game, but Spencer Ware ended up being a really nice asset out of the backfield as far as even stuff like catching passes. Spencer Ware took huge steps forward last year from what I was expecting from him as a pass catcher and as a sort of Andy Reid running back. So with that being said, I think he's a loss there. And he also, yes, is certainly the guy that I trust the most in short yardage situations. Frankly, though, last year still, he wasn't a great short yardage back. No one was. He was much better before his hamstring injury, which is really which was a crushing setback. Something just nagged on him for this whole season. So that's that sort of taints the sample from last year. But the place I can be optimistic, I suppose, is remember what the Chiefs tried to do with Jamaal Charles? Remember when they brought in Thomas Jones and they brought in Peyton Hillis? And for a little while, I think we talked ourselves into Jackie Battle. None of those guys, and I mean this, I think this is obvious. It might sound silly. None of those guys, Peyton Hillis, Thomas Jones, Jackie Battle, none of those guys were ever the best short yardage running back on the team. Ever. It was always Jamaal Charles. Did he look like a short yardage back? Absolutely not. Did he move like a short yardage back? Not really. Le'Veon Bell doesn't either. But he's one of the best short yardage backs in the league. I think part of that absolutely does have to do with the offensive line. If you have a shifty guy, someone who stays on his feet very well when contacted, and that's who Kareem Hunt is, by the way. If you have a guy that can stay on his feet, getting through a hole or getting up against contact, which again, Le'Veon Bell, Kareem Hunt, have that, they share that in common. I'm not telling you that he's going to be Le'Veon Bell, but they share that. That can be your most efficient short down running back. But if the Chiefs aren't bringing back C.J. Spiller, and if they aren't making some huge move that would surprise us, I would be interested to see if they make a move for Washington cut. Was it Matt Jones? It is Matt Jones, right? They have Fat Rob still. Okay, Matt Jones was the guy that they released. Maybe you make a move for a guy like that. That can just not only plow through a defensive line, but also through your offensive linemen who have not moved out of the way yet. Also, as far as maulers versus finesse offensive linemen, and Andy Reid just seems to really like kind of the more finesse offensive linemen. I think Parker Engry is eventually going to take that starting job back from Brian Witzman, and he is the most mauler guard on that roster. That's something to look forward to. All right, 913-3810-810. If you have any thoughts on the on what it is to be a quarterback moderate, or any other questions you have with what's going on with the Chiefs, quarterback position is a fun conversation. Running back is a fun conversation. I have some concerns about some other positions that we'll talk about whenever we come back.
This is Sports Sunday.
Well, the Chiefs traded up and got Patrick Mahomes, and everybody knows what's going on. Everybody from Alex Smith to Pat Mahomes to the Chiefs Twitter account, who is putting out stuff about Pat Mahomes throwing a pass to Jeremy Maclin, effectively erasing Alex Smith from everyone's memory.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Last time I talked about this, I said it was like watching, like before the ink on the divorce papers were dry, your mom was taping pictures of her boyfriend's face over the family photos of you and mom and dad.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, welcome back to the show. Accidentally lied to you last segment. We're not going to talk about what I'm afraid of for the Chiefs just yet. Because I just saw this story from Cleveland.com. At this point, talking about this, like, isn't even fun anymore. Because I know that someone's just going to get mad and then call in and then scream at Rudy or Charlie. And then one of them are going to tell me that they've got a call from somebody who is mad. And then I'll read a college football score. I probably do. Let's do that before. I don't want to get unsportsy. I don't want anybody to think this isn't a sports show like that poor guy from earlier. Let's go ahead and go to the MAC conference. Fascinating. Central Michigan beat Rhode Island in triple overtime, 30-27. What a nail biter. All right, so listen. The Cleveland Police Union will not hold the flag during the Browns opener, citing players kneeling during the national anthem. And that's fine. They totally don't have to. Here's the thing, though. Did you pick up on what Cleveland police just did? They just politicized the national anthem. They just decided to have their protest in the context of not being present, holding the American flag during the national anthem. Which, again, I think is fine. When it's not fine, the thing that drives me crazy is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy drives me nuts. And what shows up here is the comment section, the responses that don't line up. Now, first of all, you can say there are problems. I think it was actually Colin Kaepernick who retweeted a tweet saying, you know, that Cleveland police will defend the officer that killed Tamir Rice. Like, that's a problem. Or people will get upset at Colin Kaepernick kneeling or at Browns players kneeling in prayer during the national anthem. If you're upset at that, not upset at what the Cleveland police are doing, then what actually shows up is that you have a problem not with the context and not with politicizing the flag or the anthem, but you had a problem with the content. What it shows is that you didn't have the problem with Colin Kaepernick making the national anthem about a social cause. Cleveland police now are making it about a social cause. The problem you had was with what Colin Kaepernick's cause was. And it's a fine line, and it's also something that I've made mistakes on. Because I was thinking about this whenever Marcus Peters, this was 2 weeks ago, Marcus Peters was on the exercise bike during the national anthem and some people got mad. And I never even talked about it because, again, I think this conversation can be really interesting, but I'm also kind of exhausted by the cycle of it. But at the time, I was considering having the conversation about how if you're ranting about the problems you have with Marcus Peters sitting during the anthem, you're effectively saying that you're more outraged by the act of using the anthem as a platform for protest than you are at police who unjustly kill unarmed Americans. And that's kind of messed up. But I'm guilty also of discussing the actual act of protesting more than the content of the protest. I've done that because I think the protest itself is a hotter discussion topic. it's both easier and maybe even like more enjoyable to kind of debate and to discuss. That also makes me part of the problem. So I don't see a problem by way of hypocrisy with where I'm at with it, because if the Cleveland police don't want to hold the flag on the field during the national anthem, that's their prerogative. That's fine. They can say, I don't want to hold the flag for a game made up with players who a small minority of them won't stand for the symbol. That's okay. They can make that choice and I will not criticize it as an act. But what this is going to do is this is going to make the content more important. Because if you have an inconsistent response, you have to force yourself to figure out why your response differs. So if you didn't support Colin Kaepernick or these Browns players, but you do support the Cleveland Police Union, then you're saying what causes you support. Colin Kaepernick did a good job of stating the cause of his protest whenever it first happened. Not whenever it first happened, but pretty early on, as soon as he was asked about it. He said, I can't stand for the flag and for the anthem of a country that doesn't bring justice to those people in power who unjustly kill unarmed black Americans. I think that's something that we could all theoretically get behind, but I mean, there are undertones of racism in that, and there are things that people have to discuss and think about them themselves and take inventory of that's uncomfortable. So sometimes it's easier to just say, not during my anthem. Don't be protesting with the flag out there. That's not your time. And that was largely the response that he got from a section of people. I'm very interested now to see the response to the Cleveland Police Union. Because if the response to that from those same people isn't, not during my anthem, you're showing your hand. And that's problematic. I don't know if I really want... If people wanted to call in, I'd be down. I'm down to talk about it. It's 913-381-0810 is the phone number. If you don't really feel like talking about it, that's also fine. I'm not seeking out confrontation on it. I just think it's something that's going to unveil hypocrisies in a lot of people. And really, again, I think as long as your response is consistent, then you can live with that. But I also do think, again, the problem that I realized, and somebody, I can't remember who I was, somebody was tweeting at me and helped me, again, put together, you know, I'm also part of that problem by spending the time talking about the platform more than the content of the protest. And that's unfair to the content. The protest did effectively become larger than the cause, and that is doing a disservice to the cause of being unarmed killing or unjust killing of unarmed black people. If your cause is people disrespecting the national anthem, or if it's something else entirely different, it seems to me like we're going to get pretty obvious splits on content and not on the vessel. Because the vessel for Kaepernick, the vessel for Martellus Bennett, the vessel for Marcus Peters, the vessel for these Browns players, and the vessel for the Cleveland Police Union has all been the national anthem. And the flag, I guess, in some way. I think it's really interesting. I don't know. I'm a sucker for that kind of conversation. And I think it's evolving. That's another thing that, and we're going to move on a second. We'll take a break, we'll come back, and we'll talk more Chief stuff. And I'll leave it alone. If you're sick of it, we'll leave it alone in a minute. But one problem that I think we've had with the Kaepernick conversation is that it hasn't really moved much over the last 4 months or so, 4 or 5 months. He's just been an unemployed quarterback, a guy who is definitely better than whoever the Jets have, and whoever the 49ers have, and whoever the Broncos have. And occasionally LeSean McCoy will say, he's not in the league because he's not good enough. And some people on that side will go, look at what LeSean McCoy said. And then Aaron Rodgers, who I personally think has a better understanding of what it takes to be a quarterback in the National Football League than LeSean McCoy does, says, yeah, he should be in the league, and it's because of the protest that he's not. Then people will talk about that. That never really evolved very much. I think this Cleveland story is evolving that story a little bit. It makes it worth talking about again. If you call about it during the break, I don't think we're going to go back to it next segment while we wrap up the show. But if you tweet me at JB Briscoe, I'd be willing to at least see where you're coming from. So that's that. Thanks for if you're listening still, if you've been listening through the last 10 minutes, thanks for hanging around.
This is Sports Sunday.
913-3810-810 is the phone number. If you think I'm on to something
with Joshua Briscoe,
or if you think I'm on something, either way, love to have you
on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to Sports Sunday here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We are watching waiver claims trickle out now. I would like to see the Chiefs make a move for a receiver or a corner. And right now they only have two running backs in the roster, which could still just go back to being CJ Spiller. But we're keeping an eye on all of that right now. Two names that I was interested in, running back Matt Jones, I mentioned earlier from Washington. He's been claimed by the Colts. And keep in mind, the Chiefs have, I think it's the 27th waiver claim. So they could be putting claims on these guys, and we would know it if a worse team gets them. Because it's the same as the draft order, essentially. Not essentially. Exactly. It's the draft order. And they don't reset. It's not like your fantasy football league, wherever you claim a guy and then get sent to the back end of it. This is just straight through. So Matt Jones from Washington goes to Indianapolis. Brad Kaya, the quarterback from Miami, not the Dolphins, but Miami, the university, he was claimed by the Carolina Panthers. I thought he was really interesting because I'm still on my maybe only carry two quarterbacks. I'm still on that platform because I don't think that Tyler Bray is worth $1.3 million. And frankly, if you get to a point where you've lost Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes in an NFL game, you're probably just bleeped. I see very little to be optimistic about. And again, right now, everything is literally just coming through right now. The Browns claimed 5 guys. The Jets claimed 4. I go through and see long snappers moving. And Charkandrick West tweeted out a screenshot of a FaceTime conversation he was having with Spencer Ware. And Spencer Ware is doing something with his, like, oxygen thing that's in his nose that he did after his surgery. And it's just absurd. I don't know what Charkandrick West's Twitter account is. Let's see. Hold on. I'll let you know, because it's actually very funny. He's at Charkandrick26. It's a funny picture. So that is unraveling, whatever. That's all of the waiver claims are coming out now. It would have been a good way for a professional broadcaster to say that sentence. So we will let you know if we see any of this. My Twitter at this point is rolling too quickly to keep up with. The thing that worries me the most right now, and again, we'll talk about this tomorrow. Cody Tapp and I will be in here from 2 to 6 doing Between the Lines because tomorrow is Labor Day, so enjoy your 3-day weekend. Cody and I will be in that slot tomorrow, and we'll talk about all sorts of stuff. And also over on Almost Entirely Sports and ESPN Kansas City, 4 to 6 every day, except for Monday because Labor Day. I'll be over there talking about Chiefs stuff all throughout the rest of the season. Eventually, Sports Sunday kind of goes away because Chiefs pregame ends up being here, but the Chiefs have so many night games and national games that we'll be around every once in a while. But this might be the last, well, I guess every afternoon game. You know what? God, I do prepare for this show. I prepare for this show a lot, but I think of so many things on the, don't look at me like that, Charlie. I prepare for this show a lot, but the stuff that I think of on the fly that I have to just search while we're at it is an insanely high number. All right, look at this. Holy cow. The Chiefs only have... Is this right? Wow. The Chiefs only have one noon game in the first half of the season. Huh. The week 2 against the Eagles is a noon game on Fox. Every other game is an afternoon game or a night game all the way into the bye week, which is week 10. And then... 4 straight noon games, Thursday night, noon game, afternoon game. So would you look at that? We'll be here again next week, I would assume, and we'll talk a lot about the first game and everything then. But so we'll probably have a lot of Sports Sundays this year. That's exciting. I hope that's the case because I like doing this show. Now what on earth was I talking about before that? This is the problem. I chased the tangent and then all of a sudden, poof. We're 4 blocks over there.
The last thing I remember was a Charkandrick West pitcher.
Oh, God,
and
no.
And then we went from there.
No, there was something.
To something. Mm.
There was something. Dang it. Aha! I got it. So I'll, over tomorrow on BTL here and over on ESPN Kansas City throughout the week, I'll come up with like my official landing spot for where I'm at with like my Chiefs predictions and everything. But here's kind of my like larger point. I'm afraid for this team because they seem very fragile to me. Not in their psyche or whatever, but the more I look at it, the more I come up with a list of 5 or 6 guys where if any of those guys get hurt, if any of those guys go down for any sort of extended period of time, everything collapses. What is this team without Tyreek Hill? Offensively, they lose so much range, so much speed. What is this team without Travis Kelce? You lose one of your 2 best mismatches on offense and on an offense that has 2 mismatches. What happens if you lose Marcus Peters? Oh, God, it falls apart. What happens if you don't have Terrence Mitchell? Tom Brady will pick apart DJ White until the cows come home. Rudy just broke the news to me that the Panthers picked up Brad Kaya, which would be breaking news to me if I hadn't said that a couple of minutes ago, Rudy.
I'm going to take the L. I'm just going to take the L on that one. I got nothing. Taking the L.
Oh, I do love that. That's amazing. Whenever I heard you say Brad, I got so excited. I got so excited. Because I knew it. I knew it. You were hooked. All right, a bunch of waiver claims are coming out, but nothing from the Chiefs yet. Frankly, I haven't seen any teams on the back end of the waiver wire have any claims come out yet. So is Baseball Tonight next? So maybe Danny on Baseball Tonight will will tell you if the Chiefs have claimed anybody, because Ian Kennedy is pitching today. Good work, Rudy. Had a good show today. I think this was a good show today. This was a weird show. We went from my sandwich to the Royals, to college football, to the Cleveland Police Union, to the Chiefs. What more could you possibly ask for? I think we put together a good, weird show. Oh, man, it would be so great if I could end this show by saying, oh, and the Chiefs claim! But there's not even anybody that would be that interesting. All right, thanks for listening. Bye, Mom.